Let's turn to the book of Acts chapter 8, alright? Today we are moving on to a new theme, helping someone to the Savior. Let's stand as we read Acts chapter 8, verse 29 to 31. Acts chapter 8, verse 29 to 31. We'll be using the entire passage, but we'll just be reading three verses, okay? As a start. Acts chapter 8, verse 29 to 31. I'll read verse 29, you'll read verse 30, and then we'll all read verse 31. Okay, ready? Acts chapter 8, verse 29, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Verse 30.
And Philip answered him, and telling him where the prophet Isaiah said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?"
Verse 31 together. "And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he will come up and sit with him. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we commend this hour into your hands. Speak to thy people in a special way. And Lord, I pray that especially, Lord, clear salvation to those who have never trusted you, Lord, will be simply explained. But more than anything, Lord, teach us, Lord, from the life of Philip, how we can help someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As you are sitting, last night I had this, my son was reading the newspaper and highlighted something to me, which I thought it was very interesting, but I thought I'll just let you also know this, okay? This is taken from the Saturday Times, Straits Times Saturday, February the 4th, last yesterday. Okay, how many of you read this one? Israel may attack Iran as early as April. Israel may attack Iran as early as Israel. Now, Brother Johnny, they're far, far away, right? Do you realize what kind of war they're going to fight? I kind of read back a little bit of background. The U.S. and Israel were supposed to actually have joint operations, okay? It's an exercise, okay? Whereby it's going to be one of the biggest military exercises within the U.S. and Israel. But it was cancelled. And one of the reasons why it was cancelled was because they couldn't devote as much resources to the exercise. And it's going to be pushed in the later part of the year, all right? You realize also another thing is the Iranians are actually pushing a lot of their resources and they're trying to move it into the mountainous areas and store all their resources in bunkers. You know what are bunkers? Bunkers are just reinforced areas that when attacked, you cannot actually get to the things that they want to. Okay? Now, what is the significance of that? Iran is very prominently featured in Bible prophecy. And the concern that Israel has, and the reason why Israel has to attack Iran now, because Iran, if they actually accumulate the resources to build a nuclear bomb, Israel will be defenseless against them. And so Israel is going to have to attack Iran first, so that Iran will be set back many years in their ploy, in their plan to have a nuclear bomb. But you know, if Israel attack Iran, Iran leader have promised to retaliate. And guess who will join Iran in support? Russia, which is prominently featured in the Bible as well, Ezekiel 37, 38, 39. Do you realize Bible prophecy is being fulfilled right now as we sit? How many of you ever think of that? You know, the Bible says in Matthew 24, "As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the time of the coming of the Son of Man." That simply means people will be indifferent to the coming of the Savior in the last days. But I'm telling you as your pastor to be alert, because Jesus may come. If Israel attacks Iran, that's my hypothesis, all right? And Iran retaliate, you do not know what the Iranians have. Israel definitely have nuclear weapons. But you realize if Israel attack, And you know, my son was telling me, it's interesting, the defense minister said, should we attack Iran with special means? What does special means mean? That's scary. You realize what will happen? Oil prices will skyrocket because Iran control the shipping route that pushes oil out. 1/5 of the world's supply, the channel of Hamas. You realize? The church then, I will have to increase the budget maybe twice or three times. Because Iran is going to crawl close there, and the US is very, very, very nervous. And they find that the US, the Iran, and the talks in Israel, the talks, the decisions they have to make are getting very urgent. And you know what? They have to attack soon because Iran is pushing all their so-called resources to the mountains, bunkers. So if Israel attack, they won't be able to get to that the nuclear plants that they have. Do you know what it means for us? Israel will be very vulnerable. And Russia is going to join in the attack of Israel. You know, I don't know about you, but that's scary. Bible prophecy fulfilled. And all along, and you know what, as we were talking to my son, one of the things, you realize that Iran and Israel has always been on tender hooks. They have always been like wanting to fight one another. Do you know who's stopping them? I believe God. Because the moment these two fight, literally fight, it'll be a nuclear war. Or possibly a nuclear war. You know what that means? It doesn't just affect that part. The repercussions, the whole world will be involved. The US economy will go down. You think we will survive? Well, we will survive the nuclear war, but you know what? Economics, it will go down. And guess what? Enter the white horse. I believe God cannot allow them to fight, but He has to rapture us first before the nuclear war starts. Do you know how soon that is? As early as April, and we don't know, this is a May, we don't know where this is going to happen, but I'm warning you, you know what Jesus says? Watch and pray. And can I encourage you, we're starting our family, make the salvation of your family number one priority from now on. Because you do not know when Jesus will come, and based on the signs that are coming, that He is coming very soon. The second sign in Revelation chapter 16, the river Euphrates is drying up. You can Google it. It is drying up naturally, but it is drying up also because Turkey and Syria have built dams that block the water supply in the Euphrates. You know the significance of the Euphrates? It is to prepare for the armies of the world to march to attack Israel. Things are happening all over the world. And as Christians, if all we are concerned about is our own careers and our own life, you know what? That's why Jesus says, I will come what? As a thief in the night. And there will be many things that we will be caught by surprise. You know what Jesus says? Watch and pray. And I'm asking you, as pastor, to be ready. I don't know where Jesus will come. You know, if let's say Israel plans to attack and it's going to be a nuclear war, the rapture will happen in the next 2 months. We have to get out of this place. And Jesus promised you will not go through the tribulation that is to come, Revelation chapter 2 and 3. You will not go through it. You know what? We are thankful we are in heaven, but we need to make the salvation of our loved ones number one priority. And I'm thankful for those people who went tracking. We thank God. And I don't make numbers again, but you know what? This week alone, we managed to at least give out the gospel tracts to close to 500 families. The Sambawang, the group went 2 blocks. 1 block is about 100. The Yishun also went 2. We did about 200 each, about 400 plus. And plus the things, you know what? About 500 families are reached, at least with a tract. It's interesting, when we give the tract, as we walk past, people will read. We need to be sowing. We need to be sowing. You know what? We don't know who will come. But we need everyone to be involved. And I pray that God will help us. If the Bible is true, this is going to happen. If this happens, Christians, we're out of here. Amen? We'll be in heaven. But you know, our loved ones, we have to go through the 7 years of tribulation. Fathers, mothers, make priority of your children, number one. Salvation of your children and family number one. And you know what? We need to really, really ask God to help us, to help someone to Christ. If you look at Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us, or rather in Romans chapter 3, verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. In this planet Earth, the Bible, that verse simply means, alright, if you have your verses there, I'll just go through. I want to lay the foundation before we go into the message, how to help someone to the Savior. The Bible says there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Paul is just telling us, in this world, on this planet, no one has a heart to find God because of sin. They do not seek after Him earnestly, neither do they have a heart to hear His word. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Bible says the natural man welcometh not, receiveth not the things of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man refers to a person who is not a Christian. A not a Christian person will not welcome, will not receive the things of God. The unsaved person has no desire whatsoever to welcome God's word. They have no desire to listen to the things of God or the kingdom of God. Is it not true today when you try to tell someone the gospel or share with someone the word of God, you can literally see them kind of switch off or they will change the subject? Why? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of God. But let me ask you, what is the result of these people who have never trusted Christ or who don't want to hear the word of God? What is their end? What is the result of these people? The Bible tells us clearly that they will die in their sins and on their way to everlasting punishment. The question we need to ask ourselves is, do we believe that? Do we believe that? I can tell you, besides churches who will preach the word of God, the world will tell you, nah, it's okay. I had one friend. I worked with her a few years ago. She was sharing with me that the grandma just passed away. She's a Catholic. And she told me that the grandma passed away. And she could see the distress the grandma was in. So in kindness, she said she didn't want to put the pressure on the grandma by asking her to convert. And so grandma went to eternity. Now, of course, we do not believe the Catholic faith has the salvation that the Bible teaches. But you know, that's a scary thought. Many people, in the name of not wanting to hurt another person's feeling, would send them out into eternity without the salvation of Jesus Christ. Is it not in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul actually says that we are considered mad when we share the Bible. We are beside ourselves. The idea is, aren't we mad when we share the Bible? People will consider you lunatics or crazy if you talk about Jesus. You know what Paul says? If I'm mad, it's because of you. It's because of you. The Apostle Paul says this, how shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear without someone telling them? This world will not hear the word of God and the salvation of God if no one goes out to tell them. Maybe that's why Jesus says, Matthew 28 verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In John chapter 20:21, even as the Father had sent me, so send I you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, the Bible says, as persecution came on Jerusalem, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Everywhere the people went, it was to preach the gospel. How in the world are they going to hear the word of God? This was a situation with Acts chapter 8. Okay, coming back to Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian eunuch, he was in the wilderness. Okay, that is a picture of perhaps the world if we want to apply it a little bit. The Ethiopian eunuch was in the wilderness. Many people are in the wilderness of this world. But you know what is special there? he was in the wilderness, and it seems that God has moved him to read the Bible. And he was reading Isaiah 53, the greatest chapter, perhaps one of the greatest chapters on the suffering Savior, how Jesus Christ was crucified. But he had a problem. Did he have a heart to find out the truth? I think we know he did. But what was his problem? He didn't understand. He couldn't get an idea. He didn't understand what was happening. Listen, this is interesting because yesterday I kind of finished this message on Thursday and Friday. But when I went through it again, I had an impression and a learning point. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, you look there, it's not in your passage, but you look there. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. You know what was God telling him to do?
Thank you.
In the midst of a mighty revival, okay, Philip has just gone to preach at Samaria because there was much persecution. He went to Samaria to preach. I'm not, the Bible never says, but perhaps many people trusted Christ. Okay, there was a big revival in Samaria. And after that, when the Peter and the apostles heard of the revival, they themselves went down to kind of strengthen the world. Okay, in the midst of all the revival, in the midst of people getting saved, in the midst of many people being followed up, perhaps by the apostles, the Holy Spirit came to Philip and said, I want you to go. I want you to go down south to Gaza. You know what Philip did? He went. But you know what? The Holy Spirit didn't tell him what he was going to do, but he went. What's the learning point for us there? In the midst of the busyness of our lives, it could be God knowing what is going to happen to someone actually will send you down there. God knew someone needed to be saved. Do you think so? Do you think God knew someone that was an Ethiopian eunuch that required someone? That required someone to tell him the gospel. God used Philip in a mighty way. This is only one, not only the only instant. Remember Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? He was praying and God actually sent Peter or tell him, go there, Peter is going to tell you what to do. Remember the man also from Macedonia, God gave a vision to Paul, come over to Macedonia and help us. What am I trying to say? Is it possible that God works very hard to get people saved? Amen? Okay, David, if you need to go out, just go and go. And, right. Thanks, Uncle. Is it possible that God works very hard to get people saved? But as God moves in their heart, God may send an impression, go talk to that person. Do you realize what we do when we go tracting every week? Is it possible that God is preparing someone for us to open the door that we might share with Him the word of life? Many of us are here, some of us have trusted Christ because of tracting. I was saved because there was a deacon, 1981, knock on block 824, or is it 324, I cannot remember, on 15th floor, and he led me to Christ. I can still remember that encounter. When I met him and he shared the gospel with me, I trusted him because someone bothered after church at 2 p.m., after his lunch, to go with a group of people. And I was led to Christ. And so were some of you. Amen? Someone bothered to bring the gospel to you. Now we need to ask ourselves, we need to tell ourselves and understand this. God works tirelessly to get people saved. Did you know that? If you look at the Bible, oftentimes there will be visions given to this person because there was a specific person there that needs to be saved. And God will move, God will block Paul. Paul, I don't want you to go there. I want you to go here. And God sends a vision to Paul and says, come over to Macedonia and help us. And through that, do you realize that's the significance of that? Through that vision, God opened Europe to the gospel. Did you know that? Paul was preaching in the Middle East, but that vision come over to Macedonia and help us. God was literally saying, Paul, stop dabbling in the Jewish areas now. Go to Europe. And through that, Paul went to Europe, Macedonia, and opened up the entire area to the gospel. And Paul went there. In 10 years, Paul preached to literally most of the known world at that time, because he was led by the Holy Spirit. Now we need to ask ourselves, how do we get ourselves into a condition so that we can be ready to do what Philip did, to lead someone to Christ? What must we do? When I was in Australia, before we graduate to be a health professional, you actually need a CPR certificate. You know CPR? Cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Alright? We need to go for a course, okay? And there was this lady, she's a nurse, okay? And her job is just to conduct CPR courses, you know, first aid and all that. And there was one thing. She was given an illustration of the importance of CPR. Do you realize CPR is very important? Okay? I cannot really remember. I think I'm sure Sister Elizabeth and... Sister Celine is smiling. Can you conduct a course for the teens one of these days? I'm just kidding. But why not? You know, we need to know. And someone may just... Well, you know, the reason why I brought this course up is because this particular teacher, this trainer was telling us the importance of CPR. He was sharing an illustration. If you know in Australia, many of the houses are actually out in the suburbs, or rather in the country, okay? Means it's very far away from the normal hospital. They have what we call flying doctors. Then if person have a medical condition, far out in the wilderness, so-called the outback, they call it the outback, all right, where there's no access to medical facilities, they will call, and then they will actually literally fly doctors over there to save. There was one guy who had a heart attack out in the outback. One person did CPR on this person until the doctors came. You know how long he went? He went 3 hours continuous with CPR. 3 hours continuously with CPR. Because by the time they called the people, informed them of the situation, get the planes ready, and flew out, you know how far big Australia is, they fly the flying doctors out. The guy was literally doing for 3 hours, and you know what? The guy survived. Amen? The guy survived. Because this guy was, come on, 3 hours he was doing CPR. Question for you, what if he didn't know how to do CPR? The person would have died. Is it possible that many people cannot be led to Christ because many Christians don't know how to perform spiritual CPR? And many people may die and go to hell because we have not learned. Neither are we perhaps interested in learning. Oh, may God change our mind this month as we repent of that. What must we do to help someone to Christ? I give you 7 things very quickly. Number one, we must be, the first S, surrendered in following the Lord Jesus. In Mark chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus said this, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In Mark chapter 1 and verse 17, I believe it's inside your, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Do you realize to win someone to Christ, to lead someone to Christ, the first step in anyone's life, the first call that Jesus will ever make is to follow Him. Is to follow Him. The following has to do with complete dedication and obedience to the Lord Jesus. That means that whatsoever Jesus tells me to do, I will do it. Wherever He wants me to go, I will go. And whatever He wants me to stop, I will stop. That is following Jesus. Yesterday, the teens were having a lesson. Is it possible to be a disciple? Is it possible to be a Christian without being a disciple? The answer is yes. Because after you have trusted Christ, going on the next step, we are not willing. You know what? Salvation is free. But if you want to follow Christ, it does cost us. But you know what? The first call is always to follow Jesus. You see, if we've not followed the Lord, we really cannot be used by God. In the same way, if I'm in the outback and I care for this person but I don't know how to do CPR, I'm useless to save his life. Does that make sense? Oh yeah, we can have good intentions and we love the person, but you know what? You need to at least attend a course of follow through. I read this quote. It seems sometimes to be rather repelling men than attracting them to Jesus to be His disciples. Because Jesus says, if you will follow me, do this and do that. That's what Jesus said. Perhaps some people feel that this is something that is very trying. If you, I don't follow Jesus, I'll do this and that. But yet, this is our Savior's usual habit. If you read the trend of the Bible, when Jesus asks us to follow Him, it's oftentimes conditional. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. If you would come after me, Jesus said, let you deny yourself. There is a do. Remember the rich young ruler? He said, what must I, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, interestingly, in the book of Mark, Jesus loved him, said unto him, go, sell all that you have, and give to the poor, and then come and follow me. Is it possible that in modern day Christianity, discipleship of Christ do not require anyone to surrender anything? I'm here to tell you from the authority of the Bible, Jesus says, if you would follow Him, it does cost. You know who said that in the quote? It was Spurgeon, who was my old friend, who challenged me many times, when you follow Christ, it will cost you. But you know what? Let's go on to point number two. After you have been surrendered to Christ, we then must be serving faithfully. Serving faithfully. We are in the life of Philip, alright? Now, in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, I believe it is in your note, in your Acts 6, verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip. Philip. You realize Philip from Acts chapter 6 was already a deacon of the church? And so what, you know? Do you realize that in Acts chapter 6, you know how big the church was? 50,000. Conservative estimate. Do you know how many deacons they have only? There were only 7 men that could fit the description, because the apostle said, you must choose you from among the people, 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. There were only 7 men they chose out of a group of 50,000. God help us to be full of wisdom so that God can choose us. But Philip continued to serve the Lord. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4 and 5, you realize persecution have come to Jerusalem. And the reason why God sent persecution to Jerusalem was because the disciples at that time was disobedient to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in what? Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and unto the othermost parts of the world. And so the Jewish Christians were not moving out. God says, that is not the way. Remember the Tower of Babel? What did God tell Noah? Be fruitful and multiply and what? Replenish the earth. But what did they do? They all congregated in the land of Shinar. And they built a Tower of Babel. What did God do? Came down to scatter them. The same way the Jerusalem church was scattered. Why? Because God says, I want you to be obedient to my great commission. Now go! Alright? And so Philip obeyed. In Acts chapter 8, look at what happened. In verse 4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip, in obedience to the Bible, went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The second thing in leading someone to Christ, we must be faithfully serving Christ. Listen to this verse, Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. He that is faithful in the little things, God said, will also be faithful in the much. You know, we must be faithful, busy serving. Philip was busy serving the Lord, consistent with the scripture. God almost never used a man, listen to this, who does not voluntarily serve Him. I say again, God almost never used a man who does not voluntarily, out of the free will of his heart, serve Him. I think you would agree with me, when you would get someone to do something, and you detect that the person is unwilling, would you continue to ask him? If you find that, hey, can you do this? He's kind of like, not too sure, and give a... Would you be willing to use that person? Would you be willing to use that person? Do you realize what God does? God sees our heart. And when God knows that you're not willing, or we are not willing, you know what? God says, okay, either I make you willing, or I'll back off from your life. You know, that's a scary thing. The Bible tells us, or rather, there are some who will say they will only serve in designated areas. I find in the Bible that God says He's looking for someone to stand in the gap. You know what that means? Wherever it is necessary. Wherever it is necessary. In World War II, there was one particular... remember the Battle of Normandy? The big Battle of Normandy, where over 100,000 of the Allied forces attacked the beaches of Normandy to free Europe from Nazi Germany, Adolf Hitler. There was one particular scene where I was watching this documentary. There was a platoon commander, you know, they attack in platoons, right? So the platoon commander was killed as the machine guns were firing. And so the other officer shouted to the sergeant, "Sergeant, take over!" And the sergeant just went in and filled up. Of course, immediately, he was shot too. Okay? But you know what? It's not about, "Sir, that's not my area. That's a platoon commander area." But you know what? Once you're cut down, who's the next one? What if I died today? Would someone say, "I'll take over"? The pastor is not indispensable. God can get rid of me anytime. Amen? 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 God can get rid of the pastor anytime. There must be a man who's saying, "I'm willing to stand in the gap. I'll give up my job so that God's people can continue." Are we busy serving the Lord? I'm saying that from my heart. I'm saying that from my heart. The Bible says, Ezekiel 22 verse 13, "I sought for a man among them that he should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me." There is a need. There is a necessity. There is something that I need this world to do. I need my people to stand where the need is. On a daily basis, I get SMSs. I get people who say, "Pastor, can you help?" All that. And I shared on Friday, I cannot do it myself. I believe God wants Ambassador Baptist Church to be a spiritual hospital for many people who are sick with sin and the destruction that this life is putting on them. Some of us go through that. But you know what? Every Christian who have the Word of God in him have the potential of helping someone else. Amen? Because God asks us to be that. We need to be busy serving Him. Are we willing to stand in the gap and serve where it's needed? You know, we need this spirit, because in this way, then we can help when there is a need. Then we can help. Number three, we must be surrendered, we must be serving. And number three, we must be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. I read before in verse 26, the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip. Now, Philip, you go. So Philip went. And the Holy Spirit said a second time, "Philip, now join yourself to this chariot." Did Philip know who the Ethiopian eunuch was? No. Just go and join yourself to the chariot. Is it possible sometimes God, as you're walking along, may say, "I want you to give a track to that person," or "I want you to talk to that person," or maybe in your workplace, God begin to stir your heart about talking to someone. You may not know that person. But you know what? What does it mean to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? The idea there is impressions that we have in our hearts. Okay, let me give you a few passages. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 10, let me just flip. Acts 9, verse 10. Acts 9, verse 10. Is there, right? Okay. Acts 9, there was a certain disciple named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in the vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here. And so in the book of Acts chapter 9, God actually impressed on Ananias to go speak to Paul. Okay? Acts chapter 13, verse 2, as they, referring to the church, served or ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. So the Holy Spirit spoke to the church. In Acts 16, verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So God impressed on the Paul, I don't want you to go through there, I want you to go to Macedonia through a vision. Is it possible that God gave impressions in our hearts to do something for Him? Let me qualify, alright, because this can move into a lot of areas that people may find that, it's a bit iffy. The Word of God, remember this is all spoken in the book of Acts. This is an important Bible principle. The Word of God was not completed as yet. It was a church in transition, okay? The Word of God was completed around AD 95. So at this time, God was still speaking directly to people using visions and the Word. Okay? Now, question for you. Do we have God's Word today? Do we have God's Word today? Absolutely, in its completeness, alright? The Bible is given to us. Question, do we get impressions today as well? Definitely. Okay? Now, how do we decide if the impression is from God, is our own, or worse still, a spiritual deception? There are many people today who will think, I think God wants me to plant a church. God wants me to do this. The only way we can actually correctly decide impressions is, does my impression square with the Word of God? Very, very important. Let me ask you. When you get impression to tell someone the gospel, do you think it's from God? Why? Why do you think it's from God? Why? Because He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay? Now, when you get an impression to serve the Lord, do you do so? Yes. Because the Bible says what? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let me ask you a question again. When you do not get an impression to serve the Lord, do you serve the Lord? That's a tricky one, right? When there's nothing to impress you to serve God, do you still serve the Lord? Some people say yes. Why? 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 What? Sorry? Because we are saved, therefore God saved us to serve. So if you don't get an impression to serve God, do you still serve God? Yes. There are people who will tell me or tell people, I don't have a burden to serve. Well, then the question is, have you been reading your Bible? Does that make sense? We need to be serving faithfully. And you know what? That is so important. Because in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. To be sensitive to the Holy Spirit means, how do I learn to be sensitive to God's Spirit? In Acts chapter 5, 16, walk in the Spirit. You know what it means? It means to walk alongside in the journey with the Holy Spirit. Wherever He tells me to go, I will go. Whatever He tells me to do, I will do. Whatever impressions I have that God gives from the Word of God, I will do. In my quiet time, for those who attend the Sunday Bible Hour, you've been taught specifically how to study the Bible. Do you realize God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to you specifically as to what you need to do? You know what you need to do? Obey what He tells you to do. And once you start obeying, you begin to walk in the Spirit. Every day when you walk to your workplace, God's Word is constantly stirring in your mind. Speak to that person. Be diligent. Don't take your company stationery or something like that. Alright? And then you need to be very clear about what you need to do. And God actually makes it clear. Speak to your friends about Christ. Be diligent. Contribute to your group work in school. Be a cooperative as a team member. When people offend you, don't fight back. All these are, as you read God's Word, God will tell you what to do, right? All we need to do is to obey. How do we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Obey God. Obey what He tells you. When you hear from a message like this, when you at home read your Bible, when perhaps some of you will go on sermon audio, and you hear, if God speaks to us, obey that voice. Obey that. That's what it means to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. That means whatever God tells me to do, I will be willing to do it. Alright? Number four, we need to be surrendered. Surrender, we need to be serving, we need to be sensitive, and number four, we need to speak. We need to speak. We need to open our mouth. Okay, in Acts chapter 8, verse 30, and Philip went thither to him and heard him read the prophet and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? You know, one of the things in leading someone to Christ, we need to speak. When I was in the airport one time and I was leading someone to Christ, the family member wasn't very happy. Okay, but the person was a Catholic. And you know what? You know, we just have to live by the example. It's okay already. Good enough. That's a lie from hell. Because how would they hear without a preacher? Okay? You know what the Bible says in Acts 5:20? Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. We need to tell people the gospel. We don't tell stories. Just go straight sometimes. Yes, we need wisdom, but we need to go straight to the gospel. In Mark 5:19, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and what? Tell them how great things God has done for you. You know, God didn't tell us to be Bible scholars. God just wants us to tell what God has done for us. To be a witness. Many people will say, I don't know how to share God's word. And some of them may say, oh, Brother Johnny, it's a personality thing. I'm not that type, you know. You know, in the Bible, there was someone who said that. Guess who? Someone who said that too. Guess who? Moses. Exodus chapter 4. And God says, Moses, I want you to go to the land of Egypt and bring my people out. You know what Moses says? Exodus 4:10. Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He was very quick to tell God that he cannot speak. You know what? You know what God said to him? You know, can I encourage those? I'm not belittling. Some people are born with a personality that they just, you find it very hard to speak. But remember, you do not live your life by who you are. You live your life by the promises of God. And God said, Exodus 4 and verse 11, the Lord said unto him, who made man's mouth? Moses is stuck. You know, God has a way of kind of helping us understand. Someone say, I don't know how to share. But you know what you need to do? Then learn. And you know what? As you learn, God will teach you. But we need to be ready to learn. And so God told Moses, who had made man's mouth, or who made the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou say. Realize God didn't give Moses a choice. I'm the one who made your mouth. Moses, go. Stop giving excuses. That's what he says. You know what? You know why I believe the Lord wants me to teach everyone how to find truth in the Bible yourself? Because the more you know God's word, the more confident you will be in God's word. And when you share, you can share confidently too. You know, the Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power of a sound mind. Christian, listen to this. You cannot win someone without opening your mouth. You cannot. Oh yeah, you can. Maybe you can give a tract. But you know what? You still have to speak and explain. Well, Brother Johnny, it's very hard for me. Well, then just share what happened to you. Because God tells us just to be a witness. God just tells us to be a witness. And I believe many times that is all that's needed, perhaps, to lead someone to Christ. Just tell what happened to you. I was like that. Someone shared me the gospel. I realized I need to be saved. Now, what about you? That's all. there will be specific teaching for those who would be part of the discipleship training. We will go into details about how you do that, but you know what? We need to speak. And then number five, we need to share the gospel. In Acts chapter 8, verse 35, it's an interesting thing. Notice what Philip did. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 30, Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" 31, he says, "I cannot accept some men will guide me." Okay? And what did Philip do? Philip firstly sat beside him, verse 32. Right, the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth." And so the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53. Okay? Now, in verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip and said, "I pray thee," or "I ask you, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man?" So the Ethiopian eunuch was puzzled and he asked Philip, is he talking about himself or is he talking about someone else? Notice what Philip did in Acts chapter 8, verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth," interesting, we need to speak, "and begin at the same scripture and preach to that person Jesus." You know what that means? The Bible says, John 5:39, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me." I know what I'm going to tell you might be a bit difficult, but you know what? As you study God's word, it will become easier. As a Christian, we need to be from any part of the Bible that anyone asks, that we should be able to, from that particular scripture, and point them to Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the entire Bible talks about Christ. "Well, Johnny, I don't understand." Well, grow and ask questions. Okay, ask questions. For example, in Levitical law, you may learn about the burnt offerings. How is it called? How do you explain Christ from there? Jesus was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Okay, we need to be able to share the gospel. You know what that means? It requires us to study God's word. You know, as you go through this, I want to ask a question. How much time? I'm not talking about reading the Bible. I'm talking about studying it. I'm talking about spending time, perhaps half an hour, and just thinking about it. How much time do we give to the study of the Bible? We need to give time. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 11, you know what Paul says? "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." So Paul wanted to teach them more things, but they are dull, meaning that they cannot understand. But in verse 12, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers." Can I say this? If you have been in church, if you have been baptized, you have gone through certain courses in the church, it's time to be a teacher. It's time to be a teacher, whether in a group or one-on-one. Every Christian has some Bible knowledge to pass to someone else. Amen? That's where one-on-one discipleship is so important. And I'm not just saying that because we are pushing towards that, because that's what the Bible teaches. Paul says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again." Oh, Christian, may it never be in our Christian life that we have known so much of the Bible that all we do is sit there and criticize a person who doesn't understand. No, we need to teach someone. Be a Priscilla or an Aquila. Remember? Apollos was preaching, but he didn't know. And so as a couple, he had felt a burden. And he brought Apollos home and they instructed him more fully. And guess what? Apollos went and he became mighty in the scripture and led many people to Christ. Many of us have been Christians probably for more than 3 years. Okay, can I have a show of hands if you've been a Christian for more than 3 years? Right. If you've been a Christian for more than 3 years, that's about 60%, 70% of us. Do you realize it's time to teach someone? It's time to teach someone. It's time to teach someone. But Brother Johnny, I'm just a teenager. Let no man despise thy youth. You can teach someone who is younger. There are some younger ones here. You can teach someone. God wants us to be able to teach someone the Bible. That requires study. It requires making the Bible part and parcel of our lives. Let me read this. This is very interesting. If you read John Bunyan, I think many of us know John Bunyan, right? John Bunyan, if you read everything of his, you will see that it is almost like reading the Bible itself. John Bunyan. He has studied our authorized version, which will never be better till Christ come. He has read the authorized version of the Bible till his very soul was saturated with Scripture. And though his writings are full of poetry, you cannot, but when you look at this person, John Bunyan would have Bible coming out of him. In fact, this person say you can prick him anywhere. You know what his blood group? B. B blind. This is my old friend Spurgeon again. Spurgeon was commending John Bunyan in the 16th century, one of the greatest Baptist preachers that ever lived. But you know what? His entire soul was bound up with the Bible. And is it any wonder why he was such a powerful force that God used for many souls? And even up to today, God is still using his testimony. You know, we need to study the Bible so that we can share the gospel. You know what? We need to share the gospel, not share about HDB prices. Not share just recipes. Not share about life's problems. We need to share the Bible with a non-believer when someone needs Christ. Number 6. We then need to seek the soul of the person. You know, after we have surrendered and served and are sensitive to God, we need to speak and we need to share the gospel. You know, in our hearts, we need to seek the soul of this person. Look at verse 35. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. The Bible says that Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch says, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Interesting question. You know what is interesting? If you study Acts chapter 8, and if you study Isaiah 53, there is nothing in the interaction that is written in the Bible that baptism was spoken of. The only thing that must have transpired or happened was that Philip has told him about baptism. Does it make sense? So which means, it's not a requirement for salvation, but we know that baptism, based on the scriptures, is actually an expression of something that's already happened in your heart. Okay? That's very, very clear. But you know what did Philip was what was Philip concerned about? He wasn't just concerned about seeking the soul of this person, but that this person would live his life for Christ. We need to seek the soul of the person. In other words, don't just get the person into the church and get him saved. We need to pray. God help the person to understand. Sometimes we may need to share a little bit about the Christian life. He opened his mouth and preached the Lord Jesus. He told him how to be a Christian and the things in the Christian life. And that was what happened. And then verse 37, Philip, the eunuch then had to make a decision. He said, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" This is very typical of the world's way of salvation. What must I do? Must I come to church? Must I give money? Must I be baptized? Then I can go to heaven? What did Philip say? Nothing will stop you from being baptized if, what was the if? Verse 37. And if you use any modern versions, it is not there. Okay? If you use the NIV, or the NASV, or the RSV, or the VVVs, verse 37 is not there. Only the King James Bible. And even in the New King James, they were put in the footnotes. The Bible says in verse 37, and Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." You know what, Philip, when God told him to join himself to the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip knew what he had to do. You realize all the Holy Spirit said was, "Go and join yourself to this person." You know what that means? God expects us to do the rest. Hello? God expects us to do the rest. Because Philip has been sharing the gospel, he knows what to do. Christians, can I say this? God doesn't have to tell us everything. He just tells us to go. We need to do the rest. Philip continued. He went there, he shared the Bible. Obviously, he was studying the Bible. He was obedient and he was able to share Christ. And he made it very clear. Only if you trust Christ, you can be baptized. Okay? And what did the person say? Thank God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Upon this foundation, he was able to baptize him. Many times we help the person to Christ, but we do not tell the person what he must do. In a culture that wants to be sensitive to people's feelings, unfortunately many people will feel good, but they don't go to hell. Now I'm not saying, do you understand what I'm saying? In this culture, where we always must be politically correct, that means we have to say things in a nice way. Don't say things that offend. You know what Paul says? You know what John the Baptist says? You generation of vipers. You bunch of snakes. I'm not saying, therefore I'm going to be like John the Baptist. You guys, you hypocrites. I'm not saying that. I think you know what I mean. When it comes to the crunch, when people need Christ, you know what? I've done that many times with people. I say, can you please just give yourself to Christ? In a soft way, but in a pleading way. Telling them that you don't mean it to bang them on the head, but how many times have I told Christians, you know what, you need to give yourself to Jesus Christ. And I say it in a nice way, but we need to seek the soul of this person, because if this person doesn't turn to Christ, he will continue in his problems, he will continue in his sin, and he will die and go to hell for some. But some as Christians, they will continue in their wrong ways. Does it make sense? We need to seek the soul of the person. If a person has cancer and you have the cure for cancer, would you not tell him? You know what? We need to tell. If we have a cure for sin, the blood of Christ, should not we tell him? We need to tell. And finally, we need to make sure the individual's growth. I'd like to stop with this. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, after they are saved, they are baptized, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. With all my heart and the effort that I put, that was why I have to teach you how to study the Bible. Because I've got to teach you to observe all things whatsoever our Savior commanded us. Not what the world says, not what Brother Johnny says, but what the Bible says. And you know what is important for you as Christians to then say, if that's what God wants me to do, I need to do it. Because there is the will of God, so that all Christians will know what God says. Teaching them to observe as we close. Then, Brother Johnny, how do I practicalize it in my own life? Can I say this firstly as a church? God didn't put Ambassador Baptist Church in the north for fun. He didn't put us here so that we can just come and be cozy and learn and go home and just do our own things. We have a mission, the Great Commission. And we come to church to strengthen ourselves, to get equipment for our heart. And sometimes there may be certain troubles in our lives. God will meet that as we come to the church, as we seek Christians, as we talk to them. And then when we leave this place, we would have made a decision, say, Lord, thank you for helping me. And whatever comfort you've given me, Lord, help me to use it for someone else. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 5. And Lord, help me to be an encouragement to the people outside. I tell you, this week you are bound to meet at least one person who has troubles. You know, as Christians, we must be constantly on the lookout, just like our Savior was. The Bible says when he saw the multitudes, Matthew chapter 9, his heart was what? Touched with compassion. He had compassion in his heart. Can I say this? God put us here for a purpose, and that is to win people to Christ, help them where they need, and help them to grow. And God wants us to be involved. Brother Johnny, I'm going through a lot of things in my life. That's where, as a church, our job is to be there for one another, not just the pastor, but for everyone filled with the blood of Christ. I'm thankful for the church last week. You agreed to support the pastor. And can I say you don't support me, you support the pastoral office. Meaning that God can get rid of me, and when someone else comes in, you will still support that person that God has appointed. Does it make sense? But you know what? Many of you have ministered to my needs and my family's needs when there was a problem or whatever, and vice versa. But you know what? We need to be there for one another. We need to be encouraging to one another. So that with the comfort we receive, we will be able to tell other people. God has brought many hurting people to Ambassador Baptist Church. Amen? If the church is only for perfect people, then we must not have church. Because no one is perfect. All of us have, perhaps there's some things in our lives that we struggle with. But you know what? God wants us to be able to help someone with the gospel. The children need to grow up knowing that Jesus Christ loved them. The teens need to grow up as they struggle with the decisions of life, that there is stability in the Word of God and they can trust Christ to lead them. The young adults, as they face identity problems or the problems at workplace, need to come to church and know that God has answers to help them. Parents, when they come to church, need to know that the Bible will be able to guide them in the bringing up of their children and their families. And the older folks need to know, do you realize, as you grow older, men and ladies, God gives us a responsibility to train the younger ones in the way of God. And everyone in the church is not exempt. If you are old as a Christian, you need to teach the younger ones by your lifestyle, by the words you say, by your philosophy of life, and by the things you do in your life. By the timetables you have, that people might know that it is a spiritual direction. Many people need the truth. They need someone to show them the truth. Can I say this? This last week was a heartbreak for me. I was able to speak to one teenager and he said, would you like to come for youth club? You know what he said? I want to come, but my mom don't want me to come. If this boy dies and goes to hell, whose fault will it be? Will it be the mom? You know what? Yes, we can say it's the mom, but the mom is not a Christian. So why should he send his child to church? We need to pray for that family. And thank God I was able to speak to that mom. And the mom said she would think about it. And Lord willing, this week we'll go and visit him again. There are many people out there, can I say this, in Singapore, who has never once in their life heard the name of Jesus Christ. Never once! In a country that has over 600 churches. Can you believe that? 600 churches. That means one church in one... How big is Singapore? 600 square kilometers. One church in every square kilometer. And yet there are still people who have never heard a proper presentation of the gospel that can save them for all eternity. Can I challenge you? Let's help someone to the Savior this week. You may not be able to sit down with them 2 hours to share with them perhaps a gospel tract. Parents, some of you are so busy at home. And you have children, teach your children the Bible. You may not tell others, but tell your children how to come to Christ. Tell your children how much faith in Christ is so important. But those of you who have opportunities, tell someone about Jesus Christ. You know what? God tells us to go into highways and hedges and compel them to come in. I can tell you as pastor, I do not believe my time is only stuck with Ambassador Baptist Church. There are people in Malaysia who need Christ. Would there be someone who is willing to go from here? I don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, I'll continue here as long as God tells me to stay. But can I share my heart? Every one of us need to be a missionary at heart. We need to have a love for someone else. For you who are in careers, who are helping professions, everyone that comes to you for help is an opportunity for you to share Christ's love. And then people perhaps bring them to Christ. May all of us help someone to Jesus. And if you are here today, you are not a Christian. Jesus Christ loves you. If you are not sure you are going to heaven, you need to come to Christ. Because it is only Him that can save us from eternal hell. And Christians, all of us have the ability, because God has given us His Holy Spirit and His Word. We are going to be closing the message soon. May God challenge our hearts. I know sometimes, you know, Brother Johnny, every time I come to church, I get this and that. But can I say this? We need to grow. The more we grow, the more we are strong. You can minister to your family, and then you can minister to people outside, because the work of the church is in the streets of the world. We need to get out there. But you know, as you come, let's encourage one another. Let's be a blessing to one another, so that God can use us in a special way. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do with this message. Lord, I just want to pray for people who struggle, even in their own Christian lives. Lord, I'm not insensitive. I'm sensitive, Lord. And so are you, especially you. Lord, you are concerned for people who are trying to make ends meet. Lord, help us to do the right thing. Lord, there are many people who need you to lead them to Christ. Father, help us. I pray for these people who need someone. Who need someone, Lord, to lead them. Who need someone to guide them in their family life, in their bringing out of children. Lord, I ask you to strengthen us. To strengthen them. Lord, for someone who says, Lord, I want to do more for you. I pray from today onwards, they will make a decision in their hearts. With their eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. I just want to ask you this question. Has the Lord spoken to you? The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, we have been saved to serve Him. But are you busy doing something for Christ? Brother Johnny, I need to always get my heart right. Oh yeah, the heart must be right. But you know what? When the heart is right, you'll be serving God. Do you realize one thing? Even when we don't feel like it, we still go to work. That means that even as a Christian, sometimes we don't feel like it, but we need to still do the right thing. Now, Brother Johnny, I need to be baptized. Brother Johnny, I know God has asked me to do something for Him. But you know, I'm hesitating. I'm just not committing myself. Perhaps today God is trying to say, my son, my daughter, take a step of faith. Trust me. And do what you need to do so that you can help someone to Christ. You say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. God has spoken to me in some way. Is there anyone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. Anyone? Anyone else? I see that hand too. Amen. Anyone else? Is there anyone else? Anyone else? And say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. Is there anyone else? If you're here today, you're not a Christian, or you're just coming here because your parents sent you here, and well, I'll just come because I've got nothing else to do. And I'm praying that God will help you to see your need of salvation. Is there anyone who say, Brother Johnny, if I die right now, I don't know, I'll be going to heaven. Is there anyone like that? Say, I need someone to share with me the gospel so I can know. Is there anyone? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. And I'll get a brother to share with a guy and a sister to share with a girl. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? If not, let's pray. Father, I pray for the two hands that have gone up. Oh Lord, grant these people, grant thy children who have put up their hand in a demonstration of their sincerity towards you, that God, you will use them in a powerful way wherever they are. For their families, Lord, for the workplaces that they go to and the school, God, even among the church, that there might be an encouragement. Lord, I pray that Thy Holy Spirit will use Ambassador Baptist Church, every single one. But for these who have sincerely indicated their desire, Lord, grant to them from today onwards, Father, an increased burden that they might do all they can, Lord, to reach someone before it's too late. It could be a loved one, it could be a friend, it could be someone. Oh Lord, please help them. And God, I'm praying for Ambassador Baptist Church that we might be a light for the lost. God, we might be a light also for one another to encourage one another in the faith. As we live in a sin-cursed, God-rejecting world, Lord, help us as we sing the closing hymn. Help me to be a blessing. We thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just stand as we just sing. Make me a blessing. And maybe.